be here. Some of you don't have had a medical test this week, and I appreciate your prayers, but there's nothing more wrong with me. I almost want to say there's nothing wrong with me, but you know that's a lie. There's nothing more wrong with me, so I appreciate your prayers in that regard. You know, here we are, Labor Day weekend, and the last hurrah. All summer Bible adventure is over, and we're transitioning to regular Bible classes, and I thought this is a good time to talk about Bible class teachers. I usually, at the end of All Summer Bible Adventures, thank all of our teachers individually, and that's a little bit cumbersome sometimes, and I thought, well, I at least want to do that. And then afterward, I remember, oh wait, Ryan's going to talk about Bible school next Sunday night. So I hope I don't take too much of your thunder. I hope I give you some lightning so that you can thunder with next Sunday night, because I want to talk about Bible class. I think that every Christian should be a Bible teacher. I think we all are teachers. We should all be taking turns in the Bible class teaching. I believe that. What's happening here? Okay, there you go. Got it. It worked, just not for me. Everybody should be a teacher. And you say, well, why? Well, some really easy reasons why you should be a Bible school teacher. First and foremost, Jesus was a teacher. And I want to be like Jesus. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach. Jesus was a doer and he was a teacher. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be a teacher. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. Jesus was a teacher. 45 times in the New Testament, Jesus is called a teacher. He taught in all types of ways. He taught individuals. He taught the 12. He taught multitudes. He's taught in small groups. He taught by lecturing. He taught by question and answer. He taught by telling stories and parables. And he taught in so many ways. And some who heard him believed, and some rejected him and opposed him. 243 times his followers are called learners, our disciples. Jesus was a teacher. To be like Jesus, you must be a teacher. You must teach. Bible classes, Bible school is relatively a new ministry. But the principle behind it has been as old as Christianity itself. The heart of Christianity is a teacher. It's to be like Jesus. The question is not, will you be a teacher? The question is, do you want to be like Jesus? Jesus was a teacher. You need to be a teacher because it's effective. If I ask everyone here to raise your hand, if you became a Christian before you turned the age of 20... Didn't ask, but there you go. I'll tell you what the statistics say. That 85% of you raised your hands. 85% of people become Christians before the age of 20. If I ask you to raise your hands if you were 13 or younger, 56% of you would raise your hand. Over half the people become Christians before the age of 13. It's effective. Where were they learning these lessons? From their parents, from their families, from the Bible school. It is effective. We try to explore ways to reach out to the community and evangelize. Let me tell you, we have the best and most consistent evangelism method available to the church right now, and that's the Bible school. We think, who are we going to evangelize? Well, we got scores of kids who are waiting to hear the word of Jesus. There is our biggest pool of people to teach about Jesus. It is effective. It's your job. It's your job if you are a parent. We sometimes say, well, whose job is it to teach our children? Is it the parent's job or the church's job? Well, yes, it's the parent's job. It's the church's job. The parents are the church. You know, sometimes we have the they are we. What are they doing in the Bible school? It should always be, what are we doing? What are they doing at the church? It's we. What are we doing? Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. God has laid it on the lap of parents to be responsible for the teaching of their children. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, these words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Parents, this is your job to teach your children. It's your job. Knowledge is not inherited. God's plan was that it had to be taught. Moses envisioned a time when kids would look at the Passover and say, "What's this all about?" And parents would use that moment to teach the kids about the Passover. Exodus 12:26, he says, "When your children say to you, 'What does this rite mean to you?'" In Joshua, he said to the sons of Israel, "When your children ask the fathers in time to come, saying, 'What are these stones?' then you shall inform your children, saying, 'Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God had done to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed.'" What's this? Yeah, there are teachable moments that are built into Christianity. We just partook of the Lord's Supper. There's going to be a time when your children will go in and say, "What is that about?" They'll see a baptism. They'll say, "What was that about?" They'll see things happening. "What is that?" And we have a teachable moment to teach our kids what that's about. It's your job to teach them about those things. A child's growth, their maturity, is the responsibility of the parents. It's up to you parents to provide opportunities for your kids to grow. It's up to you to provide family activities, to provide public school, to provide sports, to provide scouts, to provide things. But the most important is to provide Bible school, to provide an opportunity for your children to learn about the Bible. Children learn first and foremost from their parents. So here's the question. What are you teaching your kids about Bible school? Unfortunately, some parents are teaching their children that Bible school is boring. We don't need to attend. Or it's just not that important. We don't need to attend. If there's a difference between what you say and what you do, your children will always believe what you do. If you're not coming to Bible class yourself, you're giving your children a strong message that this is not that important. And Bible class is so important. But some stay home instead because, they got work to do. They've got jobs to go to. They have money to make. Some make their kids stay home when they have schoolwork to do. You can't go to Bible class. You got too much schoolwork to do. Why are we teaching them? Well, that secular things are more important than spiritual things. What are you teaching your kids? You teach your kids all types of things. Get involved with your kids. Attend, teach, participate within the church. Serve. You know, sometimes we see parents up here and men are up here praying. They're up here particularly leading the Lord's Supper. And this other day, the men were lined up there and I heard a little voice in the audience say, "That's my daddy." You don't know how important it is for your kids to see you up here serving. Sometimes Kayleen says, "I can't get enough guys up here to pass out the Lord's Supper, to lead prayers, to lead songs." That's a shame on us that we aren't giving that example to our kids. And you don't have kids to the other members of the church. And I'll tell you, this means pull over and park. There's something that's much more meaningful than having your child say, "That's my daddy." It's when you can sit in the audience and say, "That's my son." Yeah. I had the pride of doing that this morning. I mean, what are you teaching them? Sometimes we don't have the opportunity at home to sit down and teach them in an organized fashion what the scriptures teach. Bible school is a co-op between Christian parents. I'll teach your kids, you teach my kids. Let's get together. I'll take those from first to second grade. You take the third to fourth grade. You take those. And see, we cooperate together to make sure our kids get these Bible class lessons. It's a co-op. We teach each other's kids. The church is a parents. Ephesians 4:11 through 16. "And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ." He gave some as prophets and apostles, some as preachers, some as teachers, some as elders. You know what? You do not hire a preacher. You do not appoint elders. You don't appoint deacons to do your job. I'm not here to do your job. We're here to equip you to do your job. And when I first got here, I was a little bit upset, still am a little bit, that I wasn't able to teach Bible classes as much as I wanted to. I liked that, but the elders made it clear to me, that's not your job. Your job is to equip. Your job is to inspire. Your job is to give these people what they need so they can teach these Bible classes. And it's so joyous to be able to see a new face up in the adult class teaching the class. I mean, it's just a thrill. It's a process, it's a event, it's a maturing and growing thing of becoming a Bible class teacher. The Hebrew writer says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, there comes a time in your Christian walk you ought to be a teacher. Have you taken that moment to teach? Matthew 28:19-20, the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Teaching. 2 Timothy 2:2. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. There is the divine process. You teach somebody else, and they teach somebody else, and they teach somebody else. We're passing the baton. We're passing the baton into the younger kids. I was so thrilled this summer at how many of the college kids stepped up and said, I'll teach a class. That's thrilling, because you are handing the baton to those behind you. And those in front of you have handed that baton to you. And the Bible class is where we pass the baton on to one another. You should be a Bible class teacher because it's your job. You need to be a Bible class teacher because the Bible class changes lives. Spiritual maturity is not possible without Bible knowledge. Hosea 4:6, my people perish for lack of knowledge. But let me pull over and park and just caution this for a moment. Because it's not just about knowledge. Bible class needs to be practical. It needs to be about how to live your life each day. When I lived in Southern Oregon, I knew a preacher down there who I knew down in California. The man had his life changed in the years since I knew him down there. Here's a man who could debate in detail almost any topic of Scripture. He knew the Bible. But when I saw him, he reeked. His teeth were stained by tobacco and wine. He was a mess. And there was another man I knew as a preacher who had fallen away. The last time I saw him, I had to go through a bar to go to his apartment because he lived above the bar. He had left his wife. Here are two people living these worldly, carnal lives, and yet they're storehouses of knowledge. It's more than just knowledge. It's how to live by this knowledge. Bible study is intended to change lives. Here's what Jesus said. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house and it fell and great was its fall. There's a lot of similarities between these two people. Both of them heard. Both of them built. Both of them had the same house. One was just built on a rock and one was built on sand. In other words, one did it and one didn't. One merely heard. It's about doing. It's about changing. Jesus said in Matthew 7:16, by their fruit you will recognize them. Teachers change lives. When I was in my formative years as a young person, growing up in the church, I attended the Southgate Church of Christ, and my preacher at that time was a man named Bill Benosky. I don't know if you've heard of Bill Benosky. He became the president of Pepperdine University. After that, he became the president of Oklahoma Christian University. At the time, he was the only Christian who'd had the presidency of two different Christian colleges. Then he became the president of Gaylord Broadcasting. And this guy, He has been listed as one of the top 10 speakers in America. He gave speeches 300 times a year. He's an author. He's written numerous books. He debated Hugh Hefner back in the 60s about the Playboy philosophy. Here is a guy who is sharp, who is talented. He is part of the reason that Pepperdine is now in Malibu. They went from a broke little school on 30 acres to a wealthy school on 830 acres in Malibu. Because this guy's talented. He went and learned under the greatest professors at USC and the University of New Mexico. He had the best teachers the Brotherhood has to offer. Carol Ellis, Baxter. But he will tell you that none had a greater influence on his life than Sister Mae Lewis. Sister Mae Lewis does not have a PhD. I don't think she had a college education. But she believed that obnoxious little boys are valuable. That's who influenced him. One preacher wrote this. He said, "Of course, my favorite part was when Joseph had his brothers exactly where he wanted them. I remember discussing it on the way home from Sunday school. I wouldn't have given them anything to eat. I'd have dug the deepest pit in the whole world and left them in it for 50 years. And then found the meanest wandering travelers and sold them into all the slavery until they were dead. When I became a man, I discovered this wasn't a childish emotion, but a human one. The desire to get revenge on your enemies is very old and very deep, but I remember with frightening clarity the day when men and women hurt me more than I thought possible, and it dawned on me that the story I had heard from my teacher's lips all those years ago wasn't just an ancient tale. I was meant to copy Joseph and do the unthinkable. I was meant to forgive them. But Joseph wasn't my only hero. I loved Elijah, the man who took on the prophets of Baal and beat them, as I found in 1 Kings 18. But one day my teacher showed me that life, even for spiritual giants, was not always so simple. Elijah was afraid. He sat down under a tree and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. Is it possible that men and women who follow God can know such darkness? Yes, it is. In fact, it is almost mandatory. God has a way of using our brokenness to touch the lives of others. We are little use in the kingdom unless we have cried. I was just 4 years old when Miss Williams, my first Sunday school teacher, called for me. She seemed to be 1,000 years old then. But this dear lady took me by the hand as we walked from my house to the little church on the corner of our street. She led me into the world of the giant slayer, the boy who brought his lunch to Jesus, and the disciple who failed, but whom Jesus loved so very dearly. Just recently I met her again. Age has robbed her of none of her sparkle, and she said with a twinkle in her eye, 'Do you remember me?' I didn't have to ponder my reply for a second. Miss Williams, thank you for those lessons. Every single one of them, I will never forget you." Teachers change lives. John Hopkins University did a graduate study of 200 boys. Get this, 200 boys ages 12 to 16, all from low-income families. They investigated these children's backgrounds, their environment, they interviewed the boys, and they predicted their future. And here's what they predicted. They predicted that 90% would spend time in jail. You catch that? 90% would spend time in jail because of their background. 25 years later, they did a follow-up. Some had moved away, some had died, but they located 180 of the 200. Only four had spent time in jail. They're way off. Only four. Why? That's what they want to know. Why? Researchers were continually told, well, there was this teacher. 75% referred to the same woman. Researchers asked the retired teacher if she could give them a reason why those boys should have remembered her. Her response, "No, really, I couldn't." Then she added, "I love those boys." Teaching makes a difference. We need to realize we don't teach classes, we teach children. We don't teach lessons, we teach students. We don't cover the material, we make disciples. We don't focus on presentation, but on transformation. We're just over with All Summer Bible Adventure. ASBA is kind of crazy. It's always a little bit worrisome when we have visitors during the summer trying to explain what's going on up here. I've had jungles behind me. I've had airplanes crash behind me. I've had workshops behind me. I've had castles behind me. I had a Volkswagen van behind me. I can't even remember all the stuff I've had behind me. We've had all kinds of crazy stuff. Here is a castle we had. There's the Volkswagen that we had. We even had a llama come to church on Sunday morning. We had clowns. We had this clown. Still do, he just dresses differently. We had champions for Jesus. You know this lady here? Why, that's Jan Powers. She didn't even recognize herself. We had these guys. You see, these were the young people who did the plays back then who are the old people now. Yeah. And that's, one of these days, Ryan will say, I used to be one of the actors. No, when I was younger, because you'll have another group of young people doing this. You know why we do all these crazy things? I'll tell you why. Because, let me say, we really send missionaries around the world. And one of the things that missionaries want to know is, what is the culture of the place they're going? And they're going to try to immerse themselves in that culture. Why? Because they want to win some. What we are doing is immersing ourselves in children culture. We do things in some kind of silly way sometimes because that's the way the kids respond. That's what they relate to. That's their culture. We have activities that are age appropriate, decorations that communicate. We want them to remember these lessons. You need to be a teacher because it changes lives. You need to be a teacher because you're a Christian. If Christianity were merely a philosophy, our primary activity would be study. Jesus didn't say, come unto me and I'll give you study. Come to me and I'll give you life. I will give you rest. Sometimes we get confused about this, even with our small groups, our 242 groups. We get upset, why isn't this a Bible study? Because study isn't always the most important thing. Relationships are. Life is. That's about getting to know each other in our lives and having fellowship with one another. Christianity is about relationships, it's about life. Words that describe Christianity best are words like love, give, believe, serve. Study without service produces Christians that have judgmental attitudes, that are full of spiritual pride. Study without service. There's a story of the Dead Sea. I'm sure most of you have heard the story of the Dead Sea. It's in a song that we sing sometimes, 654. It's a song about the Sea of Galilee and how much life is in there and how it supports the community and it flows into the Jordan River and this Jordan River is full and wide. But then it all pours down into the Dead Sea and there's nothing in the Dead Sea. No life, no fish, nothing. It's full of slime. Because it doesn't have anywhere to give. There's no rivers coming out. There's no tributaries going out of the Dead Sea. It is the end, and it is dead. And if you are the end all of all these Bible lessons, if you don't turn that into service, you are spiritually dead. You are spiritually useless. Christianity is meaning change. We changed. You need to be a Bible class teacher because you're a Christian. You need a Bible class teacher because you are needed. There's sign-up sheets in the back. I remember the exciting times in All Summer Bible Adventure when the first night we had a meeting, all the teaching positions were filled up. And people were going, oh no, I wanted to teach. I was there the first night. And we would, oh no, I thought I was going to teach. I wish we had that all the time. Where people were just lined up. Where Ryan said, I'm sorry, but there's next year. But that doesn't happen. We're almost begging sometimes for people to teach. This morning, Brenna Hedrick, I don't know how old Brenna is. She said, when I get big, I'm going to be a teacher.
At least I reached one. I wish that was all of us. Because, you know, it's needed by you. You need to be a teacher. You know who the most blessed person in the world is? It's the one teaching the class. You know who learns more than anybody else? The teacher. Any teacher will tell you that. The one who learns the most, the one who's blessed the most, is the guy up in front teaching the class. You need this. I'm so thankful for our teachers because you're living like Jesus. Because what you're doing is effective. You're doing your job. You're changing lives. You're an example of what it means to live with your Christian service. If you're not a teacher, here's part of the invitation. See Ryan. See Scott. See Jacob Moran. See Alan Barrett. Each one of those are in charge of some section of our Bible school department. Ryan has the children. Scott has the adults. Jacob has the teens. Alan has the college group. See them. For all you teachers, thank you so much for your service. And you can respond now to the invitation in many ways. You can become a Christian this morning. We hope you will become a Christian. I hope you were taught by some teacher to how to become a Christian. And if you're ready, we're ready. If there's something going on in your life that you want to share with us so we can pray with you, we will open the invitation to you as well. But for the rest, determine to be a teacher and determine to bring your children to Bible school. Need to respond any way this morning where we can help you. Let's stand and sing together. Wonderful story of love.